I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. Today, we're so excited. We have a very special interview that we've been waiting for a while, and I know you guys have too. You know, there were three main cast members on Girls Next Door, but if there was anybody who would have been the fourth cast member in the hearts of the fans, it was definitely Sarah Jean Underwood.
What?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's 100% true. 1,000% true.
I don't
it's true.
It.
I'll start sending you evidence when I see it on social media.
Really?
You'll be inundated.
Okay,
no, it's 100%
cool.
True.
Nice. Thanks. That's great intro.
Well, I think so too, especially as it gets going. I feel like our friendship grows. You spend more time at the mansion. Like there's so much more that we go and do together. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how we're going to get this interview in today. We were talking about this a little bit before we even started recording, but like there's so much to talk to you about. There's no way we could possibly do it in one interview. So I feel like we have to kind of contain it as much as possible and then just have you back on like five more times.
Okay.
Yes.
Pull my arm.
We're excited. Everybody will love that.
So should we just get right into it?
Yeah, let's go. We have so much to catch up on.
Yes.
Time's ticking.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
I grew up in Scappoose, Oregon. Actually, like a tiny, tiny little town. Like, I think it was like 3,000 or 4,000 at the time. Right next to Holly, actually. Like,
yeah, we went to rival high schools.
But we never knew each other.
Yeah.
And we didn't discover this until like I got to the mansion or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of wild. It's like we were in these two little towns out in the middle of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
And they were only like 10 minutes apart. And our schools hated each other.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I didn't know you. What year did you graduate?
97. So I'm a little bit older than you, and that's probably why. But we knew some people like Hunt Christensen and
right.
Shout out.
Bridget's like, what?
I'm like, who?
But yeah, so small little town in the country. I grew up, you know, being a weird like 4-H horse girl. And aww. Like,
I did 4-H. Not horses, though. I did rabbits.
Rabbits.
Oh, isn't that?
What do you do?
Perfect,
rabbits.
Right? Just raise them and learn how to groom them, like, pet, you know, take
oh,
care
nice.
Of them.
Okay. And then you like, bring them and put them, just be like, look at my rabbit.
Yes. And we show them. You show them. You take them to the show and they win prizes,
cute.
You know, like the ribbons.
Cute. I did a little bit of that too. We had to like ride and perform these patterns.
Wait, did your 4-H have crafts too? Because I also did a lot of crafts in 4-H.
Like, no.
I learned cooking and I learned like sewing and
no, I didn't learn any of those skills. I still don't know any of those skills. My boyfriend like cooks for me, so it would have been useful. Yeah, so I was just like a weird like horse country girl, and yeah, like I mean, we'll get into it, but transitioning into LA and being thrown into Playboy was just like the hugest culture shock for me.
I bet.
Yes.
I think it's a culture shock for everybody.
Sure. I mean, who wouldn't it be? But exactly. But like, I feel like Playboy does pick like the small town girls. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like a lot of people like say that. And so that is true. But I was a very isolated girl. Like, I can't wait to tell you guys like my first like... Anyways, I'll wait for the question.
Okay, do you remember when you first learned about what Playboy the brand was and what you thought of it?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, I guess you always kind of know like what Playboy is. But I was in college and I was living with like 8 people in this like little house. It was boys and girls. And on the coffee table, there was a Playboy. And I was like, oh, I've never like actually looked into a Playboy magazine before. Of course, I knew what it was.
You never saw one until college, though?
No.
Wow.
No. Like I said, isolated.
Yeah.
So I opened it up and I remember who was in there. It was Jennifer Walcott. It was the playmate. And I was like, this is the most beautiful girl with the most amazing body like I've ever seen. Like, that's all I remember thinking was like, wow, there's people in this world that look like that. I've had like a girl crush on Jennifer Walcott like since that day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my thought. Like, and I was just like, cool. Wow. How amazing to be that beautiful. Like, what must that be like?
Right.
Yeah.
So you went to OSU, Oregon State, mm-hmm. and they were doing a college girls issue. Every yes. couple of years, they do like Girls of the Pac-10, and they would go to each of those schools and search for different candidates. How did you hear about the search, and why did you decide to try out?
Okay, so I didn't know that they were in town. One of my girlfriends was going to go try out, and she called me, and she's like, hey, will you straighten my hair for me? I'm going to go try out for Playboy. I was like, what? You hussy? Like, are you serious? She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I was like, you're going to, like, pose, like, you're going to go get naked? Are you serious? And she's like, well, no, because there, I guess there was an ad, which I never saw, but it basically was like looking for girls of the Pac-10. It could be implied. It could be swimsuit. It could be nude. It could be whatever. So she's like, yeah, I'm just going to go like in my swimsuit. She's like, you should go. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. And like, I kept thinking about it that whole night. Like, I was just like, there was something that I was like, maybe you should. And it was so out of like my comfort zone. And because I was like a prudy prude. Like, let me tell you, this is how prude I was. Okay. I mean, I sort of got myself like in a pickle with this, but nobody had ever seen my boobs. And I, at that point, had a boyfriend for 5 years and he had never even seen my boobs. So the idea of doing Playboy was absolutely crazy to me. So I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, and so the next day I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't remember how I found out like where it was or whatever. But yeah, so I went to the audition with the thought of like just wearing my bathing suit. And here's the thing, like the reason my boyfriend of 5 years hadn't seen my boobs is because basically since I started puberty, so like maybe like eighth, ninth grade, mm-hmm. I started stuffing my bra with these giant chicken cutlets, like giant. I mean, not a little, like giant. So everybody I knew, all my friends, everybody I ever went to school with, like thought I had these giant boobs. And I would not show him my boobs in our whole 5 years of our relationship because I was just so embarrassed. I was like, well, he's probably with me because he thinks I have giant tits.
That is so funny because I did something kind of similar. Really? In high school. I had a Wonder Bra.
Yes.
And it used to make my boobs look a lot bigger. And I used to stuff. And then when I got a boyfriend, I slowly had to start decreasing the stuffing over time before anything went anywhere. Because I'm like, he's going to like take my bra off and like shit's going to fall out.
Yes. My mom, the Wonder Bra. That like small boobs are like cool and trendy now, but back then, it like that was the look, like giant Pam Anderson.
I always
boobs.
Needed giant boobs.
Me too.
It was like a need of my life. I don't know why. I have no idea why. It's not like I liked a boy who said something about big boobs. It was like I saw an Anna Nicole Smith guest ad one day and was like, "That's gonna be me."
Yes, we were born to be big boobed Playboy girls. Mm-hmm. It just is what it was. So yeah. So I just like. It was like, so I was like, okay. So I stuffed my like bathing suit with like my chicken cutlets and it was at a Best Western hotel. I don't know if you guys know what those are.
Yes.
Okay. And they let you into the room and there's like six girls sitting in there. Should I keep going with this?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All the tangents, all the side stories.
We love it.
Okay. I don't want to mess up your questions. No. So he's like in a bedroom, like it's like a suite. So we're in like the living room and he's in a bedroom like shooting. I can hear the clicking and the talking and there's like six girls like lined up and he comes out in these gray sweatpants that have like stains and they're like kind of sweaty. Oh. And like a t-shirt like and he's like comes out pissed, like he's like talks to all of us like sitting there. He's like, listen girls, this is Playboy, okay? Like you have to get naked. Like I guess a lot of girls like me were just coming in there like, oh, I'm just going to do a bathing suit, you know? And so I guess he was pissed because like nobody wanted to get naked or something. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, do I leave right now? Because like there's no way I'm going to do this. I don't know why I stayed. Anyways, it comes my turn and he goes in there. He's like, okay, take your top off. And I was like, I was just going to do a bathing suit.
Oh, my God.
Show me. And he's like, he was nicer. Like he could see I was really nervous and shy or whatever. And he's like, okay, you're not gonna like get in this unless you like do a topless. I was like, okay, well, at least topless. And I was like, well, okay, I can't, you know, like, and I said, and it is true. I was like, my parents will kill me. You know, I didn't know what they would think. Mm-hmm. They were paying for like a lot of my college. I was like, they'll probably like stop paying for my college if I do this, you know, but it also the bigger thing was like, I need to keep up this, like, everyone's going to know I've been going on for like 7 years, like pretending I have these giant boobs. I have these little boobs. So he's like, well, but I didn't tell him that part. And he's like, go home and
go home. Get out of here.
Call your parents. you know, because that was the whole story. I like kept up with him. And like I said, it was true. He's like, go home, call your parents. And get their permission because I think you could like you know, be in it or whatever. And I was like, okay, I will. No intention of asking my parents. I was like, they're going to freak. And then he called me the next day because I guess I had my number on the form I filled out or whatever. He's like, did you ask your parents? And I was like, oh, no. You know, he's like, I'm telling you. He's like, I'm telling you, like, ask them. Like, I mean it. And like, he went through like a really powerful, like persuasive speech with me. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. Fine. And I called, I asked my mom and she was like, Sarah, you're an adult now. Do whatever you want to do. You don't have to ask me. And she's like, but call your dad and ask your dad.
No, she's not no, you ask dad.
Yeah. I was like, can you?
Yeah.
But he said the exact same thing. So they were that's like amazing. Super cool about it. Yeah.
Kind of like teary-eyed.
Yeah. I know. Sweet. That's they were so super sweet. Cool.
So yeah. So then I went back and I called him and I told him like they let me. And I went back to that Best Western and they like threw a black silk sheet over like a couch and like put a Go Beavs because it was the Oregon State Beavers like fake tattoo on my thigh and an orange underwear on me, and that was the shot.
Yes.
Wow.
Just topless.
Okay, I have a couple of questions or a couple statements too. That's my exact story that happened to me too.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Like
which
I wouldn't
part, though?
And
like,
I think Holly too. Pretty close.
Very
anyway.
Similar. Yeah, tell yours, because when you were telling that story, I was kind of getting flashbacks. Like, did Sarah I remember you telling me about the gross sweatpants.
I did.
You have told me about that before. But I was like, deja vu, but didn't the guy come out and say the same
yes.
thing at your tryout?
Yes. So oh. I was sitting in the same scenario, suite area like mm-hmm. yours. And we were sitting out there filling out our paperwork, and he comes out mad and he tells everybody, look, this is Playboy. I'm gonna ask you to take your top off. Don't be surprised and don't like sit there and have to make me talk you into it in there. Know before you come in that room whether you're going to take that top
off or
not. It's
like a bait and switch. Like, obviously, that's like a thing. It's a way they get the girls to come in or something like that. Mm-hmm. It must be if we all have the same story.
And he said exactly, he's like, this is Playboy. If you can't do it in that room, you're not going to do it in there. So, like, if you want any chance of getting it, you're going to take your top off.
That's wild.
He didn't ask for more than the top off.
No,
but he
me
did
neither.
Top off,
yeah,
for sure. So that, and then two, and we can take it out if you don't want to say on camera, but who was the photographer?
That's what I was going to ask you.
David Meese.
Okay. It was the two main guys, and mine was Giorgio, I think was his name. I felt really bad because he was discovered me, but it was like those two guys that were the ones like going around and like getting all the girls.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I never worked with that guy, but I've heard. But I mean, I think it was Giorgio. I feel really bad, but he was like, he was really, really nice. Like,
yeah.
And I attribute like all of my success after sort of to him, because he was the one that like was like, you need to do this, I'm telling you. And he pushed me and like I really appreciate it, and he was really nice, but but the truth is he came out and yelled at us all and told us we need to take our tops off.
Right.
So crazy.
That's right. Skylight Frames is the perfect gift for moms and grandmas. It's the digital picture frame that keeps your whole family connected. Just in time for Mother's Day, listeners get 15% off.
I know you guys are panicking. What are you going to do for your mom? Mother's Day's coming up. You know what I used to love to do is making photo albums for my family and sending them. But one year I was just falling off, getting to the post office, didn't send it in time. So my next gift was a skylight frame, and now I can update the photos regularly.
Yeah, it's amazing. I got it for everybody in my family for Christmas, and every day I see updates of their pictures and what they've been up to, and I just love it. It's like a different way to stay in touch.
It's so cute. The skylight frame is a touch screen photo frame that your whole family can upload photos to, and they appear in seconds. You get to share your favorite moments with the people that matter most to you. The perfect gift for moms and grandmas.
Anyone can send photos to the frame in just seconds via email or app. So it's a great way to keep in touch with family and friends.
It's really simple to use. The setup takes less than 60 seconds, and even the least tech savvy can use it.
It looks like a real photo frame that adds a beautiful touch to your home.
It holds thousands of photos that continuously rotate through and bring daily joy.
As a special limited time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com/level. That's skylightframe.com/level. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightframe.com/level. And then yours is similar.
Yeah. Well, I tried out on the search for the Millennium Playmate, and it was done on like this tour bus that would go from town to town. So I go on there and they say, show up in a bikini. So I'm like, oh, cool. We'll take bikini shots. And then if they like what they see, they'll call you back later. Mm-hmm. And then that would be like the topless shoot, I would assume. But I went down there, and when it was my turn to go into the room and take photos, he was like, okay, so can you take your top off now? And I was like, yeah, wasn't really planning on that. And he goes, oh, well, we need those pictures. And I'm like, okay, well, can you write something on my packet? Because they put your pictures in this packet that had kind of like a questionnaire on it that you signed. I'm like, can we sign a thing that says you can't use those photos? Because I didn't want to end up in like one of those random pictorials where it was like girls of the da-da-da. Like if I was going to be topless, like I wanted to be a playmate.
Exactly.
So,
did they agree to that?
Yeah, they agreed to it. But I was also thinking like I probably completely fucked my chances also because I'm like, don't use the topless photos.
Really?
So I agreed to take the top off. And then they used it when they did the Millennium search. Like they had all these Polaroids of girls and my Polaroid was used. And then like there was like a couple little ones in there of me topless in there, and I'm like, oh, I'm topless in Playboy and like these little ugly not well lit Polaroids. Yeah,
that's annoying. That's not really
so
fair.
They did use them.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
So next step is you shoot your College Girls cover, right?
Yes.
When did you get word that you were chosen to shoot a cover?
Very shortly after. I think I was in my junior year of college, and very shortly after they're like, they want you to shoot the cover, we're gonna fly you down in like within the month to shoot it. So, yeah.
That's so cool. And the crazy thing, and I learned this when we were talking before and like going over stuff, is you didn't stay at the mansion that first time. I thought your first shoot was that time I met you later on when you shot your pictorial, but you didn't stay at the mansion. You stayed at a hotel. Do you know why that was?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Is it though? Like even girls that aren't like, because I wasn't testing for Playmate at the time. I was just like,
everybody stayed at the mansion.
I don't know why they didn't do that then. Well, it was, they flew me and this other girl out, and I didn't know at the time. Like, I thought, like, oh, I got the cover. Mm-hmm. But when I got there, it was me and this other girl, and they're like, you're basically, like, competing against each other. And,
ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, she's going to get the cover, obviously, in my mind. Like, she had these giant, big, fake boobs. She had long, luscious blonde hair. She was so curvy, like big hips, tiny waist. Like mm-hmm. I was like, and then here's like me, 5'2", like straight as a pole with like little boobs and like awful extensions. And I was like, okay, she's got it. And I still to this day kind of think like I only got it because I think she might not have been 21 and I was 21 at the time. So maybe out of like default, I got it, got the cover. But yeah, I didn't, they put me up at a hotel. I didn't even know that staying at the mansion was like a possibility. But after we shot the cover and it was like body paint, mm-hmm. I was there for like, I think I shot, it was only one day. I think they body paint for hours and then we shot. And then at the end of that, they were like, they were very secretive about it because they weren't gonna ask her. Like they're like, hey, will you like stay, are you okay with staying and testing for Playmate an extra day? And I was like, oh my gosh, like amazing, but like I gotta call my parents.
Yeah.
Because Playmate meant like full nudity, and I hadn't done, I mean, I was naked being body painted, but for whatever reason you have paint on, you feel like it's mm-hmm. a little different.
Yeah.
I stayed to shoot, but I still stayed at the hotel. But they said when I was shooting or testing for Playmate, they're like, if you want to go up and have dinner, you guys are having dinner that night or something, and meet Hef and stuff and go to the mansion, like we can get you a car to go there. And I was like, absolutely not. That just showing up to the Playboy Mansion, like by myself to go meet Hugh Hefner and like all these people, like no interest. No, that sounds like my anxiety could never.
Yeah.
So I declined, which honestly is probably stupid, but like, I just didn't like think about it. Like, oh, you should go and meet Hef. Maybe he'll like you and see you in person and maybe you have a better chance of getting Playmate or something. But like those thoughts just never ran through my mind. I was a very anxious little girl and like I still am. And so I was just and have crazy bad social anxiety. So yeah, I declined and yeah, I didn't go up that trip.
What was your test shoot? What was the theme?
It was they basically carried over my, I guess he liked my test shoot so much, like he kind of turned it into a part of my like Playmate pictorial, but it was just like a girl's bedroom, a little girl's looking bedroom.
Yeah.
I will say, because I did look so young, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I looked much younger than I was and I was very young. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was, just kind of like a little girl's bedroom.
Do you remember who did your makeup?
Yes. Basically, Sarah Cranham did my makeup through like out my entire career of Playboy because I just loved her so much.
Did you like it right off the bat? Like when you first saw the makeup, when you first saw yourself done up, did you like your makeup?
I did. I loved it. Like I had no idea how to do makeup or whatever. And I felt like really beautiful. What I do regret though, and I still to this day do not let anybody touch my bangs. Like I'm very particular about them. I think I do a better job of styling them now than I did back then. But like I look at that cover and they're just so like Sarah was like, let me do your hair. And I was like, no, like I've don't touch my bangs. Don't touch my hair. Like I did not really let her do my hair other than like tease it a little bit. But I'm like, man, that, like my makeup looked good, but like I could have had some professional hair done.
No, I think just... you look so cute. I get it though. Like I don't like straying from like a distinct look either. Yeah. Like it freaks me out.
I've never had anybody, like every time I have ventured out to have someone style my bangs for me, I've never liked it. So
yeah,
whatever, for better or for worse. I always do my own thing.
Wait, what about when you go see Laurent?
Laurent's assistant back in the day, like, did a pretty good... She was the only one... When I was saying that, I was like, well, there was that one girl of Laurent's. She did a good job, but...
Do you remember who did your shoot?
Oh, yeah.
Photographer?
Oh, yeah. Arnie Freitag.
Aw, Mr. Arnie. I love Arnie. Yeah. Then how long did it take before you found out you got Playmate of the Month?
I think I found... God, that's a little fuzzy for me. I found out, I think... pretty quickly. And we I found out pretty quickly and we shot it really quickly. They came out to, we shot a little bit in the studio and they also came out to our property in Scappoose, our farm. And we shot with the horses and in my childhood barn and like all that stuff. But yeah, I found out quickly and we shot really quickly.
And then, but during that process, you do come to the mansion.
Yes.
So what was that like the first time coming to the mansion?
Oh my gosh. So I basically like finished my finals and flew out to go shoot. So it would have been like the summer, like June or something like that. I flew out to go shoot it. Landed. They took me from the airport to Playboy Studio West to shoot. Got my hair and makeup done. And we start like shooting my centerfold where you just stand in like one spot like the whole time and take like a million Polaroids that Arnie looks at like under a magnifying glass. And then towards the end, I knew I was going to be going to the mansion after the shoot. And then towards the end, they're like, hey, did you bring any like evening gowns or anything like that? Because they're all going to an award show and they would like you to come. And I was like, no, I did not bring an evening gown.
You just have those in your car at all
times? Yeah, I was like, no, absolutely not. And so they're like, okay, well, we probably have something in the back that we can like find you. And they found this Dolce & Gabbana like slip. Like it was a slip. It was a purple slip. Like it was not a dress. It was not an evening gown, but it's all they had in my size. And that's what they put me in. And I got dressed and they're like, okay, they're all, when you get there, like they're pretty much going to be ready to go or whatever. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. And they sent me in the limo to the mansion. I'm sitting there in my Dolce & Gabbana slip, not having any idea where we're going. There's just some event that we're going to. I show up, I walk in, everybody's in the dining room. There's camera crews everywhere.
Did they not warn you?
No.
Oh, God.
I had no, it was your guys's, I think, from what I understand, it was the AF, okay, now I find out, it's the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award show for George Lucas. Mm-hmm. And was that the first day you guys filmed? Because I was told that was the first day that you guys
filmed. It must have been, because the first day I remember was showing you and Raquel around. Which must have been like the next day or something.
Right. Exactly. It must have been. So then it's true. That night was like your guys' first night filming The Girls Next Door.
Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium Polaroid shades that won't break the bank.
Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Their shades have durable frames and crystal-clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. Have you got yours yet?
Yeah, and I love them. They're so cute because I got, like, oversized ones. I, like, found the biggest ones I could find.
Mine are so cute, too. They're kind of like a blue and black tortoise shell pattern. And I could be wrong, but I think they're made out of like recycled plastics from the ocean.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase.
And hassle-free shipping and returns. If you don't love your shades, exchange or return them worry-free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop.
Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code NEXTLEVEL for $20 off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people.
I walk in and everybody was waiting for me. Like I was the last person.
Oh no.
To like I have Hef, I have all you guys, camera crew, like playmates. Everyone's like waiting for this like little girl that like nobody knows. It was awful. So basically like I walk in and Hef's like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, okay, so we're going.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I get in the limo and like, I know nobody. And Tiffany Fallon like just like put me under her wing. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany Fallon was Playmate of the Year. She was the current Playmate mm-hmm. of the Year at the time, actually, I think. And she was so sweet and like motherly and she like helped me. But yeah, that was my first day at the mansion.
What a whirlwind. So then the cameras follow you when you're shooting your pictorial at the studio. Were you warned about that at all? Did you feel okay with it? Did you feel like it wasn't really what you signed up for? Were you nervous about your nudity ending up on TV?
Did they follow me for my Playmate of the Month shooting?
Maybe you didn't know they were there because there's shots of you shooting at the studio. There's shots of you getting your makeup done. And I think they ask you something about your makeup.
I kind of
And then there's like,
that.
They're like lurking behind you as you're shooting.
I kind of remember that. I guess I more remember them being there for my.
Oh, they ask about me being nervous and stuff. And when you're in the makeup chair, they're like, are you nervous?
What, did
like,
I play it cool? Or
no, you were like, I think you were saying you were nervous.
Oh, yeah. I was hella nervous. I don't even remember them being there for that, honestly. I don't know what it was like for you guys. But for me, like, I never noticed the girls next door cameras. But maybe because I wasn't like the star or whatever. But like,
I feel like they were really easy to get used to. And yeah, it came to a point shooting the show where I was like, wait, where's my camera crew? Like I missed them not being there. Yeah. Not only did I, you know, feel like I could just be totally normal on camera, mm-hmm. but like I was sad when they weren't there filming something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe for me, I was just more focused on like, I just kind of, I didn't know what the show wasn't anything at that point, you mm-hmm. know? So like to me, I was focusing on Playboy and their cameras and their behind the scenes and like what I was going to be doing. I don't even know that I was like paying attention to the camera crew because like, what is this? Maybe had I known how big like Girls Next Door was going to be, like maybe it would have seemed like a bigger thing. But I was like, oh, they have this like reality thing that they're like filming behind the scenes or something like that. I didn't know. I didn't think about it much, really.
It was all so much at once,
it was
I'm sure.
A lot happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any, sorry, this is going back a little bit, but did you have any preconceived ideas of what the mansion was going to be like or the girls that were there?
Just not really. Honestly, like it all happened so fast. Like I think we all kind of do like Playboy bad, Playboy slutty, Playboy dangerous, you know, like whatever. So yeah, I mean, I guess like I definitely, the Girls Next Door show didn't exist where it like showed the world that like it wasn't this big scary place with like orgies. While they do happen there, it's like not regularly. Like it is a big kind of like family in this warm cozy blanket in a lot of ways, like, and it's not this big sex romp all the time and like whatever. So I didn't have that going into it. So yeah, I guess I had like the idea that everyone else had before the show really showed that what it really was. So it was a scary idea going into it. But if I go, like, I don't know that I ever thought, like, am I going to have to, like, sleep with Hef? Because that's what everyone, like, thinks. Like, mm-hmm. okay, if you're a playmate, go to the mansion, you obviously, like, sleep with Hef. I don't even know if that went through my mind. I think if, like, I had thought that, I probably never would have gone. Yeah. So I couldn't have felt like that bad of it, you know?
Yeah. When was the first time you met Hef?
So it was the AFI mm-hmm. Lifetime Achievement Award show, but like I didn't speak. Okay. So the first words he said to me,
let's go.
Pushing you along. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. So we all get in the limo. No one introduced me to him. Nobody. Like, I mean, I didn't even get introduced to you guys. He's like, let's go. Cause he was pissed. Cause I was like the late one basically. And we all get in the limo. Everyone's like drinking, talking. Like, I'm just like oh God, what's happening? We get to Hollywood Boulevard, get out. And like, it was like, it's a huge event.
Yes.
Like, not prepared in any way. There's like a mile long, maybe that's an exaggeration, but it seemed like a mile long of like paparazzi and lights and huge red carpet. And like, we get out, we all get in a line and like pose on the carpet with him. And he's doing interviews. Still haven't said like a word to him, which is fucking wild. I'm like part of his posse at this huge red carpet event. Like, I've never even spoken a word to him or anybody. And I remember like he was being interviewed. And so, and I think you guys were with him and like us extra girls, like playmates or girls testing, kind of like we're standing back. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And I'm like kind of in the middle of the red carpet, just like zoning out, like, and this person comes up to me and they're like, excuse me, I need to get by. And like, I look up and it's Harrison Ford and Calissa Flockhart.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is this world? Like, and so I move out of the way for Harrison Ford. Like, okay, whatever. And so anyways, you guys do all your interviews and stuff and we all start like walking up. There's an escalator that like, or I don't remember if it was stairs or an escalator. I think it was actually stairs up to go into the show. And I'm like lagging behind. I'm the one like in the back and
waiting on Sarah again.
You know, always waiting on me. And so Hef always takes up the back. And these were my like his first words to me. He like put his hands like on the small of my back. I'm kind of like, let's go. But he kind of like put his hands small on my back. And he's like, I didn't have any underwear because it was like a silk Dolce & Gabbana slip. And he's like, I like your underwear.
Oh my God. Because
he could like feel I wasn't wearing any. Like, those were the first words he ever said to me.
Oh wow. My God.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Cool.
Okay. So one of the reasons why I remember that they interviewed you in the makeup chair and you were talking about how nervous you were is because they intercut that with this next scene that happens in this episode where we all go out to the club. Do you remember going out to the club with us?
All the time, but like I don't.
But this first night?
I don't know. Not particularly.
Oh, so you don't remember when I was trying to sabotage you?
No.
Must have been too wasted.
Yeah.
I do.
It worked.
I do remember when I rewatched The Girls Next Door, you're like, you were like, oh, go ahead, drink up, girls, or something like that.
Well, no, that's the way they cut it to look like that. Like that, I sabotage all the new girls coming in, try and get them drunk so that they look terrible in their playmate shoots. And
yeah, no, I never got that impression from you ever, but I do remember seeing that scene.
And I was just like, and I've said this before, so sorry for those listening, but when we first started doing this rewatch, and I got to that episode, which is only the second episode, I think. Or is it the first one?
Second one.
I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is so fucked up what they did to me. And they made me look like such a villain. Like, how am I even supposed to like defend that? I was so upset.
Mm-hmm. So you saw that as season one was starting to air. And then so you're like, I don't even know if I can do season
two. No. Okay. So during the show, we all just sort of took one for the team and like, we thought, haha, about things. This is rewatching and doing the podcast 20 years later or 18 years later or whatever it is. I was watching that scene back and I was like, I told Holly, I can't do this rewatch. Like, how am I supposed to go 18 years later now and defend that? Like, it totally looks like that's what I'm doing.
Who cares if you were?
I care because I would never do that. And that was not me.
And that, like, absolutely. But like, dude, I just, like, even if you did. Even if that was like, man, the bitchy, shitty things I did is like, whatever we all do, who cares? And like I said, like, I never felt that from you. Like, I always felt like you guys were like our biggest cheerleaders and whatever. But like, all of our bitchy moments.
No, but I was just being really honest with my feelings, saying that, yeah, it makes me jealous when other girls come in and see them getting what I want so bad. What's and I'm sitting that? Here. But then they intercut it with you being like all innocent, be like, I'm so nervous to be here. And then I'm like, drink this. And like,
no, I mean, for the record, like I don't remember like that specific night, but I never once felt like you guys weren't welcoming and happy for us or whatever.
Yeah.
You thought that in your mind, and that's okay.
So you shot part of your pictorial at your family's property in Oregon. Yep. Tell us about that, because I have a vision. I have a vision of like a farm table dinner with Arnie and all his assistants around the table. Like, how did it go? Like, where did they stay and where did you guys shoot? And what did you guys shoot?
Okay. So I sort of like left this part out about my mom. Like when she told me like, you know, you're an adult, do whatever you want to do. You don't have to ask me. And so I did. I went and shot that the Girls of the Pac-10 thing. And then like a couple weeks later, I went home from college and like brought up, I was like, or I think she asked like whatever happened with like that Playboy thing. I was like, oh, I shot for them. And she was pissed. Like kind of like kicked me out of the house. Like so mad at me. I was like, whoa, 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 bait and switch again. Like, what's happening here? She was so mad at me. And then
so it was like a test for you.
I guess I, unbeknownst to me, it was a test and I failed.
Oh my God.
My dad like sort of like helped smooth that over. And then I had to call her again when I was in LA and they asked me to test for Playmate. I was like, Mom? And she's like, I don't know, whatever, just do it. She didn't love it all, you know, like she tried to like let me be an adult, but like she didn't like love it all. And so when I told her, and she had these preconceived, she'd never seen a Playboy in her life. And she had even bigger, like preconceived notions about like what it meant to be involved with Playboy and how are they going to like, what are they going to do to my sweet, innocent, like little daughter, you know, like don't, I want to protect you from whatever it is they do there, all the drugs and whatever, you know.
Stitch Fix sends style so good you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work.
My Stitch Fix box I just got was so good. I said I like to wear mostly black, so they sent me all these amazing pieces, like a really nice pant and like this denim moto style jacket. And then I got this blazer that I love. It's kind of a plaid style. It's so Capricorn. It's so me. I love it.
My stylist helps take my wardrobe to the next level. She knows what works for me, sometimes even better than I do myself. She helps me discover new things about my style. It's like my stylish best friend is shopping for me.
You know that confidence boost you get when you put on a really amazing outfit? That's what I get from Stitch Fix. When I look good, I feel good, and it shows.
I just give my stylist my sizes, style, and budget preferences. I order boxes when I want and how I want. No subscription required. And she sends me 5 just for me pieces, plus outfit recommendations and pro styling tips. I keep what I love and send back the rest. It's so easy.
My stylist sends personalized pieces and the fit is flawless. It's like she's reading my mind. I don't know how she does it, but she just gets me.
Stitch Fix makes it all so easy.
Style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/GNL. That's stitchfix.com/GNL. stitchfix.com/GNL.
So she, I was like, so I got, you know, I got Playmate and she was like dealing with that. She's like, okay, whatever, you're an adult. But then I was like, so they want to shoot at our house? Like, you know, like, what do you think about that? And she was like, oh my gosh. Like, she just had this idea of like the skeezy people that were going to be there. And she's like, you know, she's trying to be supportive. So she agreed to it. And we live out in the middle of nowhere. And so when we're like planning the logistics, I'm like, can you make us like lunch and dinner and like all these things? Oh, and she's like, you know, she's like, begrudgingly like, yeah, okay, like,
wait, can they interrupt really quick, because I'm getting visions of like Boogie Nights, like the sleazy porn producer people showing up. Like, I feel like that's what she's thinking.
That is exactly what she had in mind.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And doing like, coke in her bathroom,
exactly, and like exactly what she thought was gonna happen. But she still agreed, like, bless her heart, like she had all those visions of who was gonna show up and she's like trying to support me. So, but like they all showed up and it was a small crew. It's like Sarah Cranham makeup and I forget the wardrobe lady's name. I feel so bad.
Was it Lane or Yachty?
Lane.
Lane was so good.
Yeah, I loved her.
She got the good shit.
So, yeah, and she's so sweet and like motherly. Arnie and like his crew, like it was really small and everyone's like really sweet. And like she just, I think like all that just instantly like put her at ease, how like it wasn't Boogie Nights like type people. They were just regular people doing a job. They're not sleazy, like, you know. So yeah, so we were going around like scouting different, not only on our property, but kind of like around where I lived. And on the road out to our house is like a creek that runs along the road. And so we like pulled over there. I was kind of like showing them stuff. And we go down to this creek. And Arnie's like, oh, we could like tie a tire swing up, like make a tire swing, like you're swinging over the creek or whatever. And we're kind of like talking about it. And we hear like these little kittens like, and this is in the middle of nowhere. Aww. And we're like, what the heck? And we see like one kitten, like half in the water, half out, like baby, like smushed under these like branches, like meow, like trying to get out. And there's another one like up in a tree. And we're like, oh my gosh. So we like take these kittens and we bring them home to my mom. And, you know, they're babies. And we're like trying to like nurture them back to health. They're like on their deathbed kind of. And then we go back the next day to shoot this tire swing thing. And we find like another one of them. And so we bring them back to my mom again. And now we have like three kittens like that we're now like adopting because of this like Playboy shoot, who ended up being in the pictorial, by the way.
I remember that picture. Yes. It was so cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. Arnie was actually supposed to take one. But then he was going to fly home and the photographer and was going to like fly home and adopt one. And we were going to send one of them to him. But then my mom just like fell in love with all of them. So we kept them all.
That is so sweet. I love that story.
I know. That's really cute.
So you worked with both Arnie and Steve on your first pictorial, right?
I did. Just shortly with Steve. Like most of my pictorial was with Arnie. Mm-hmm. They like hated each other. And so like they both like talk shit about each other, like kind of like the whole time. Like I didn't even know Steve, but I knew so much about Steve and what Arnie like didn't like about him and stuff. And so when they told me I was shooting with Steve, I was like, oh great. Like I'd only heard like bad things about him. And he was like really nice. And I really like Steve too. But like then he talked shit about like Arnie like the whole time.
The competition was deadly. But for those who don't know, there were two staff photographers at Playboy at the time, Arnie Freitag and Steve Weda, and they were both amazing, but had very different styles. Tell me about their difference in styles and what you liked about working with each one.
Yeah. So, you know, it was right around the time when things started switching to digital. I think they probably both were using like the Polaroids and film and stuff still, but Arnie was definitely still using the Polaroids and film. And then when I went and shot with Steve, he had a big old computer and where I could see the photos that he shot like right there. It was like, wow, because I'd been working with Arnie for so long. And anytime I wanted to like see what the picture looked like, I had to like get a microscope out and like, you know, like look at the Polaroid or whatever. So I thought that was like really cool to be able to just like, wow, he took a photo and now I can see it on the screen. You know, I felt like Arnie's was a more really sweet and innocent type of pictures. Mm-hmm. But I think that was cool because then when they put me with Steve, they pulled the mattress off the bed and like had it like crooked kind of like in the air. And it was like my bed was made with Arnie and like had a little like teddy bear and like it was just very sweet. And Steve's like, pull the mattress off, have it hanging half off. The sheets are all messy. Like, hike your panties.
She's been
like,
getting wild in here.
Way up, you know? So it was kind of, in a way, it was kind of cool. I think it made my pictorial more interesting because it had like kind of both of their perspectives. I don't know if they normally like switch.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, it kind of encompasses all of like what a playmate's supposed to be, both of those styles. So it's cool that they had both of them there like that. Oh my God, I have a Marilyn story. So that documentary I told you about Arnie. So I show up to do it and the guy was talking about how he interviewed Marilyn. I'm like, oh, you interviewed Marilyn? I want to get on the podcast so bad. And he goes, well, I have to warn you, she was not that kind about you. I go, what?
What?
I go, oh, really? What did she say? And he goes, she totally blames you for her demise at Playboy. And I'm like, how is that even possible? She was fully retiring.
That's what I'm saying.
Announced she was retiring, said she was moving to La Costa by the time I was coming in and interning. And she was like incredibly welcoming to me when she didn't have to be. So I don't know what that's
Marilyn
all about.
Rewriting history a
little
bit.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Or she just had like a Jay Leno moment where it's like, I want to retire. So like, now I can't. No, I don't want to. This is my life type of thing. Put me back in, coach.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I specifically remember like she was going out.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Crazy.
Marilyn.
Anyway. So tell me about your Playmate video, because I think a lot of women who came to pose for Playboy back in the day thought they were just going to do this great magazine pictorial. Mm-hmm. And then you find out you have to do a video that's going to be like on a VHS and a Playboy TV. And I think sometimes it was a little much for some girls, like being on video feels a little bit different than being just in a still photo. So how did you feel about that? Did you know the video was part of it? What was it like?
Yeah, I did not know until at some point mid through the process that there was also going to be a video shoot. My experience like shooting my pictorial was so good, like so comfortable. Everyone says that you forget you're naked. It's a small, closed, professional set. Like, so I really wasn't that worried about it. I didn't know that it meant that I wasn't going to be shooting at Playboy Studio West. I wasn't going to be shooting with Arnie or Steve and all the people like I had come to be like close with. None of that was like explained. So in my mind at first, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to do what we just did, but like a little bit of video. I was okay with that. I wasn't scared. So then I meet, you know, them and they introduce me to them and we kind of talk about like get to know each other, the husband and wife, like at their house. And I was like, okay, maybe this will be okay. Like it's new people, but they seem nice or whatever. And then I get to the set and it's like 30 people, like huge set outside. There's just like random people walking around everywhere. Like there was absolutely no privacy, like whatsoever. Extremely different experience. And I started bawling. Yeah. Like I was shaking. I told Michael, like, I didn't want to do this. Like I, you know, like he had to like talk me off of a cliff and like convince me to get out there.
You guys, I was just taking a break from editing to play June's Journey. Bridget's in my favorite game. I love it because it's so relaxing, but also it wakes my brain back up with the hidden objects game. June's Journey is a murder mystery set in the glamorous world of the 1920s. There's even home design elements in this game, so it kind of has a little bit of everything that I love. You get to customize your very own luxurious estate island. Let your imagination run wild when decorating your island estate. Build your very own estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Collect scraps of information to fill your photo album. That's another thing we love, scrapbooking, and learn more about each character. You can even chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. Dive into June's captivating quest to uncover a scandalous hidden family secret. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance. Set out on a journey through the glamorous roaring 20s. It's June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. This game is about a daring young woman, June, traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets. I even found this new feature. You get a new delivery every day. It looks like a 1920s picnic basket with like a glass milk bottle, and you tap into it every day and you get a new reward. So I'm definitely going to be checking in on that. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
He got rid of only the people that needed to be there, which is what it should have been like in the first place. Like, because I remember like when I first walked out there is before I expressed like, oh my gosh, you know, and there was like guys sitting around everywhere, like on their phones, like seemed like they might have been taking pictures of me, like looking at me, like not looking at me, whatever. But like, it was just, it was crazy. And so I was like, I can't do this. Like I was shaking, crying. And he got rid of like everybody that needed to like go, which was nice. But yeah, it wasn't a great experience at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot, I think.
It was a lot. It could have, you know, like what they like contract out to like a different company, like to do that. Like it wasn't really like Playboy, but Playboy should have like been a little, I think, more protective of us and made that experience we had at Studio West like transfer over to like the video part of it.
I tried to get it consolidated when I was at the studio because like I said, Steve really wanted to take over video and I knew a lot of the Playmates didn't like doing the videos. I thought the good thing about Playboy videos was they made the women look stunning, but I just knew nobody really liked the process. It was so fucking expensive, like what it costs to make those videos versus what it costs to shoot a Playmate pictorial. Yeah. But Hef just wouldn't do it. He was just like, oh, we have to have those videos historically. Like, historically.
So strange. Such a strange way of thinking.
So what happened when your magazine came out for the first time? What did everybody back home think? What did you think? Did you like the pictures they chose?
I did. I loved the pictures. Like, I thought I looked beautiful. I was, like, really excited. Everyone was very surprised at how small my boobs actually were.
After years of deception.
Yeah, everyone's like, wow, Sarah, you know, I can't believe you did this, you know. And yeah, I was really happy. I was really excited. They started calling me Sarah No Underwear.
That's funny.
So Sarah Underwood. At that point, I had been on the cover for Oregon State University, mm-hmm. rocking like a painted on Oregon State jersey. And like, so that was like a really exciting thing for OSU students, you know, like having like an Oregon State person like on the cover of Playboy. Mm-hmm. And so I was already like felt really cool at that point. Like I go to the clubs and like people knew I was like the girl on the cover of Playboy. So then when my pictorial came out, when my pictorial came out, I had just graduated because I shot from when I shot to when it came out was over a year. I thought they were like that they were never going to use me. Like I was like, oh, we shot all these pictures because I never got any updates. Like, mm-hmm. okay, we're thinking like they just shot and then ghost. Like a year later, I finished my senior year of college where I felt cool because like I said, like I was on the cover or whatever, but my issue hadn't come out. But my issue ended up coming out like right after I graduated, like took like my last finals, and I flew down to LA to like the premiere party or whatever, like the day of like my finals.
Remember, that just reminded me, remember we always used to go out to the club when a girl's issue would come out and they'd have like a issue release party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I totally exactly. forgot about
that.
Yeah,
that's what I flew down for.
Yeah. What was it like doing Playmate Promotions? Do you remember the first one you ever did?
I hate it. I mean, okay. I loved Playboy Promotions like for the money. It was like really good money to me. Like I didn't have like two dimes to rub together before Playboy. So I loved that. But like, I am not an outgoing person, and like a lot of the jobs that they get you is you're the host, you're the entertainment, you go around, you schmooze people or whatever. And like, whew, that was not me. That was really hard. It's when I really had my like first experience with like panic attacks and anxiety, and like I went to a doctor. Like I feel like Playboy Promotions and those jobs, like not because Playboy Promotions was so bad, but it was just like the kind of person I was expected to be, an outgoing, like talkative person, was like really, really hard for me. But yeah, I do remember my first job. I don't remember what state it was in. It wasn't California. I flew to it. It was some like restaurant club type thing that I was hosting. You'd always like go and host, like some company would pay to be able to say like, hey, Playboy, Playmate of the Month, Playmate of the Year is going to be here. And that's how they would get people like in the door. So that's what was happening with me. And they basically like for all these events, like put you behind like a roped off area, and people would all be like partying and drinking and looking at you like a zoo animal. And they put me in there. I didn't know anything about any of this. And so I get in, they lead me back to the like stage area or whatever. And like Steven Seagal is also there like hosting it, which
random.
I had no idea like he was a part of it or anything. And he was like, three sheets to the wind. He's wearing like one of those like Mexican blanket type of like shirts. Like he was very like, he was having a really good time. I was like so nervous. We were the oddest pair ever.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
So how long did it take before you were fitted for a bunny costume?
I feel like a long time. I don't think I even like, I could be totally wrong on this, but I don't think I even got a bunny costume until after I was Playmate of the Year.
Oh, wow. And you were a purple one, right? That was like a rare color.
I didn't know that. Like, you had said something about like I was the only one, and
I think so. I have like a vague memory that maybe later on, I think, but she might have inherited yours. Kim Phillips maybe had a purple one. The red
she had mine. She inherited.
Okay,
mine.
Yeah, I think you had the only.
I didn't
purple
know.
One
I didn't
for
know
some
that.
Reason.
I
there was like a
that.
Rare purple.
Nice, cool.
I love it.
It was good. What was the first mansion party you got to attend?
So it was during that time when like I had shot my Playmate. So I was my senior year of college and I'd shot my pictorial and I'm like, I'm going to be a Playmate, but I don't know when. And it was midsummers. And so I drove down from Oregon from college with a girlfriend of mine from college. And we like stayed in a hotel and we went to like the midsummers party. It was the only time I ever like, because after that I moved into like the bunny house across the street, like kind of shortly after that. So it was my first time like going there, and you had to like park in a parking garage and a shuttle would like escort you there or whatever. So I went to the party. I wore like put like fake red hair streaks in my hair. I looked ridiculous, but it was like the coolest night Yeah. That's really awesome. Wasn't like involved with Playboy much at the time. Mm-hmm. I had shot my pictorial, and that was kind of it. Like, I didn't really know you guys all that well yet. I didn't know anybody at Playboy. I just like went right back to my life. So I like showed up at the mansion just like, wow, okay, cool.
Was your friend super excited?
Oh, she was so excited. Yeah. We had a blast.
Do you remember what you wore?
Yeah, it was a red and white, like, sheer thing I got off of, like, Yandy or, you know, like, one of those sites or whatever. And it was, like, a skirt. It was, like, a dress. It was sheer. It had, like, little red hearts and sheer white. And then I put, like, red streaks in my
Why
hair.
Why do I feel like we have a picture with her from that party?
You might. Yeah,
I did have a memory with you guys. Of it. I was going to ask you, were you, like, a strawberry girl? I have, like, a strawberry. Yeah. Like, I know it wasn't strawberries. You said it was hearts. But, like, I have a vision.
Yeah, I do, too. I have a vision. I have a vision of the streaks possibly in your hair. Yeah. Like, and I feel like I see a picture in my head.
We did sit with you guys. Like, when now that I look back, like, I didn't know the rules or, like, anything. Like, she was not a playmate. And I'm like, come sit here. And, like, she sat at, like, the table with all you guys and whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you guys don't, you know, like, it's one thing to have like the playmates and the girls you guys know, but like randoms just coming up and sitting or playmates just bringing their like random friends from home to like
sit at
your table.
It's not random if it's your friend though.
Oh, okay. Well, I look back now, I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. I shouldn't have asked her to like sit there with them.
And it's totally fine until somebody comes up that Hef wants to sit there and he's like, who are all these people?
Oh,
and then
right.
Holly has to kick people out. What was your favorite party at the mansion?
You know, probably Halloween. Like, I'm a big, like, horror movie. I like all that. So, yeah, I liked Halloween and the haunted houses and the costumes and stuff like that for sure.
Yeah. Okay. This is the episode we're kind of just wrapping up right now. Let's talk about Kendra's 21st birthday in Vegas. Tell us what you remember about that trip.
I re-watched it just recently because, like, first of all, like, we all went to Vegas so many times. It all kind of, like, blurs together, and it's hard for me to, like, remember which was which. I don't remember a lot. Like, when I rewatched the episode, I saw we went to the strip club. I was like, don't recall that, like, at all. There's, like, a clip of Kendra pulling her boob out, and I'm, like, looking at it. I'm like, don't remember, like, Kendra rubbing her boobs in my face. I just don't remember a lot of it, to be, like, honest. I just don't want so bad. I remember, and maybe I remember this part because like I hadn't been like drinking all day and night or whatever, but I do remember you. Like, it was like the first time I saw you like really get drunk and like let loose. Mm-hmm. I never saw you like really like party and like let loose or whatever for whatever reason at that time.
Well, I can tell you why.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was just because like I wasn't around half, because I was telling Bridget too, we were watching these episodes, and the one right before Kendra's 21st was Victoria's baby shower, and I'm not drunk in that one, but we're doing the baby shower, we're just by ourselves, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, we've been watching this show for a season and a half, and this is the first time I'm watching myself and I'm seeing myself be myself. Yeah. On TV. So that was weird. And then we were watching the 21st birthday one, and I had flown to Vegas ahead of time to like set everything up and do the gift bags. And I'm hanging out with Destiny at the pool, and I'm watching myself, and I'm like, oh, I'm myself again. But it was because Hef wasn't there. So I don't have to be like, you know, Stepford wife all the time.
I guess that's it, because I was like, dang, Holly is like so much fun. I never saw you like that. I never saw you party. And I was like, and you were such a fun energy, like, oh, during the day, that I like, we were all wanted you to stay. Like, we're like, Holly, stay. You're so much fun right now. Like, stay, you have to stay. And like, you seemed so happy. And yeah, and I remember you wanted to stay. And I felt like we'd almost convinced you too. But then you ended up still going back. I don't even know if you asked if you.
Probably not.
No way. No way. But like, I know you wanted to. We all wanted you to. You were just on a whole other level of letting loose and having fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that obviously we took the bus there.
Yes.
You know what's funny about this, before I even start with what I remember and what I don't remember and what's just from the show too. Yeah. But I asked Crystal like what she remembers about this. And she was like, I don't remember anything.
Why?
I don't know. And when Holly first was like, I'm going to have to rely on you heavily about this episode, I was like, oh, shit. Because at first, I didn't remember anything. And then I texted Destiny and she was like, girl, I don't remember anything. I think we drank a lot and danced a lot.
It must have been.
And I'm like, how does nobody remember anything? But then I started watching it, and then things started coming back to me, and not just stuff that I saw on the show, but then I started listening to commentary too, because if you have the DVDs, you can listen to the commentary part. And all of this other stuff started coming back to me, and I was like, Oh my God. Now I'm starting to remember. And I'm sure I don't remember everything, but I'll tell you what I remember because maybe it'll jar your memory. So we take the bus there. We get there. We hang out by the pool for a little while. Kendra goes back into the room, one of the suites. We have two suites, the bowling alley suite, Lucky Strike. And we have like one of those sky villas with the pool outside and everything. Kendra gets ready with Stephen Molesky, which I was shocked that he was able to come to Vegas and do her hair and makeup after what just transpired in the Europe trip.
Hef just must have been clueless as to who was doing her makeup, and he probably drove himself out there. And
yeah, and then security was in the room, so I guess it's okay. But anyway, so then we all get ready. We go to dinner. Well, we gamble for a little bit. We go to dinner at the Nine Steakhouse, and then we go to the club, and on the way to the club, and there was actually somebody else that reminded Holly or told Holly about this. And when she told her that and Holly told me, I just had this explosion in my head of this memory. We're going to Rain, Club Rain, and Kendra runs into our ex-boyfriend.
Who?
I don't know his name, but do you remember there was a group of guys? Well, there was a whole bunch of people watching us go into the club. And then all of a sudden somebody starts calling out her name and she stops and she went over there.
I don't remember that.
And it was drama. It was drama.
Is this an ex-boyfriend from San Diego?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This is now vague, very vaguely sounding familiar.
It was drama because we had to go back up to the room because she
started
like,
yelling at him or
there was like
that?
Big drama going on. I don't even know what the, because I kind of hung back because I'm like, I don't know who this is. Must just be some friend from Vegas. I mean, from San Diego.
Oh my God, yeah.
And she went over and I kind of stayed back kind of more by the entrance. Some of us did. And some of them went with her over there. And then it was just not good. And drama went down. I don't know what was said.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, I'm only like vaguely remembering this, but this is such like something that had been lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I had any idea what was going on or what it was, but
I know I didn't have any idea until after. And we had to deal with like the mess because she was like,
what was it?
They got in some sort of argument. I don't know the details, but he was like, you know, still in love and like, I don't know. I don't know everything. So we went back up to the room for her to regroup. And then we're in the club and there's a scene of me hugging her and telling her, we're not letting anybody ruin this night for you. Like, and I was, and when I first watched that, I was thinking, that's weird. I wonder who we were having drama with, because I know I wouldn't just tell somebody that unless they, something had happened, you know, like somebody was being mean to her or somebody said something to her or whatever. So I was like, there's no way I would just say that, but that's what it was in reference to.
Wild.
And then we're at the club and she loses her grill
and
we're all on our hands and knees like, and it's getting kicked around.
Is that
like,
on the show or no?
No.
Because I do remember that too. And I'm like, do I remember this because of the show or not? But
it wasn't on the show.
Yeah. She lost her grill twice that trip.
Yeah. She had it on the cake table and then she got up on the cake table to dance and kicked it off. And then it was like, where's my grill? And by this point, like everybody's been dancing and we're in our little dresses on our hands and knees, like looking for all the pieces to her grill.
The grill was the drama.
And
trip.
This part, I don't remember. I know that we talk about it in commentary. So maybe you remember something caught on fire with the cake and the candles. But I'm thinking, oh my God, how now I'm thinking back this many years later and thinking how dangerous that club was, so packed.
So
could you
packed.
Imagine a fire breaking
oh
out?
Oh my God, no.
But something caught on fire. So then we leave the club and I remember us going back up to room. This is not on the show either. I remember us going back up to the room and her having a meltdown in the hall because it was only 2 a.m. or something like that, or 3 a.m. and it was too fucking early to be going back to the room and all you guys are fucking party poopers and I don't want to go back to the room.
Jeez.
And we go back to the room and she's like, I want to go to the strip club. I want to go to the strip club right now. And you may not remember going to the strip club because not everybody went.
I went because I watched the show recently and I saw myself there. But that's when I was like, I do not remember going to the strip club. Maybe I was like half asleep or something. But no, I don't remember it, but I was there apparently according to the footage.
Well, I went. I don't remember how we got there. I don't know if we went in the bus again that we came there with or how we got there, but we go. And I know we were in a because Holly was like, God, the strip club dead. Like, there's nobody there. But they put us in a super area because we had the cameras with us.
Sure.
And I think they didn't even want to let the cameras in, but that was like the arrangement. Like, okay, you guys are over here.
Right.
And I remember the strippers being really, really nice and really excited that we were there and hanging out with us to the point where I think a manager or somebody came over and was like, you guys have to mingle with other people too. You can't just stay right here. But then I remember that all of a sudden Kendra disappeared and she was just gone. And we're all sitting there like, okay, none of us even want to be at the strip club. And now Kendra's gone. And then they said she went up to the champagne room. So we're waiting.
Getting a lap dance?
That's what I assumed. And she was up there with, I don't know who went with her, like Destiny or whoever was up there with her. But the rest of us are just like tapping our toes, like waiting. She never comes back down. I know I left. Crystal said she came with me.
How did you leave?
I think I got a taxi. I don't even know. I just know I left. And then the show corroborates that because it doesn't show that anybody left early.
Yeah.
But it shows that Kendra comes back and they go out into the pool out there and she was like calling everybody party poopers. And it shows me and Crystal asleep in the bed.
Yeah, me too. It showed me I was sleeping too. Maybe I went back with you.
So you must have come back with us.
I don't know. God, it's so weird that I can't remember that. It's it kind of makes me uncomfortable that I have so much amnesia about that
me
trip.
Me too. Yeah. I'm like, why can't I remember more? And more is coming back. Like, I also couldn't remember, like, did we have breakfast the next morning? Were we all hungover?
Yeah.
Like, I remember being super tired and sleeping on the bus ride home, but was I hungover? Did we eat? But then in commentary, we say we stopped for Pizza Hut.
Yeah, for some reason, nobody remembers that trip. The only person who remembered anything was Kimberly Holland. She filled me in on a lot of stuff. And she said her and somebody else got tattoos.
Oh.
Well, there was talk of all of us getting a matching tattoo, but then we didn't. So they must be the only two that followed through.
But now the whole boyfriend thing is like, seems so obvious to me now that you've said it. Like, I do remember that drama walking down. It was like outside the elevators on the way to the restaurant. Like, that all seems like, I'm like, oh, yes. That's it. That's the only part that I recall.
Yeah.
So I loved that interview. Obviously, we have a lot to get to next week.
Yeah, it was amazing catching up with Sarah. I haven't seen her in so long, but I feel like I still feel that bond with her. And it felt so good to see her again.
I feel like no time has passed.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how many coincidences we all have that like link us all together. Like, we were all born in Oregon. Sarah and I going to rival high schools. The bra stuffing. Like, I know you didn't have to do that, but Sarah and I did. The similar tryout processes where it's all like, you have to take your top off and we weren't prepared. And there's another really big coincidence in part two of our interview that you guys will hear next week. So
yeah,
that's a big one. And
how long had it been since we've seen her?
I don't think I've seen her since my wedding, which was 10 years ago.
I mean, I definitely saw her at your wedding. I'm trying to think if I would have seen her any other time after that, but I don't think I have.
Yeah, I've kept in touch with her, but I haven't seen her in person.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So after our interview, we went out to Katana, a sushi restaurant we like to go back in the mansion days, and we met her partner, Jacob.
It was so nostalgic, you guys, because we used to go there with Hef all the time. Uh-huh. When I'm going through our pictures, we're always at Katana. Katana, yes. Or Mastro's. Katana, Mastro's.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. But yeah, we got to meet her boyfriend.
Yeah, it was super nice catching up. So next week, we're getting into what the competition for Playmate of the Year was like, the celebrity she had to swerve, the surprise body insecurities, her career after Playboy, all the things. And we even have, like, we talked for 2 hours with her, but we're going to have her back multiple times because we have so much to cover with her, so many episodes she was in.
You guys, we didn't even scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Like, we felt like we had to cover a certain amount because we know what people know her for. Like, so even though we're not at the Playmate of the Year episode, we know we had to talk about a little bit about that. But like, there's so much more to talk to her about. It's endless. Like, we could have talked for 10 hours and still had more things on our list that we had to talk to her about. So there's going to be a lot more Sarah in the future.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll see you guys next week. If you want more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.